Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who would do that? Did you hear that a few minutes ago in the reading? Who would do that? Who would leave 99 sheep, right? Who would leave 99 sheep, maybe out in the open? Maybe exposed to danger, and go after the one. He must have really liked that sheep, right? Who would do that? And not only that, but were you listening? What did he do after he found his sheep? He didn't just say, "All right, come on." What do? He put them on his shoulders and then rejoiced, right? It was only after he was on his shoulders that he started jumping up and down and rejoicing, right? And not only that, but did you hear what it said? He carried him all the way back, and then what was his next thing that he did? He called up all his friends and threw a party over a sheep. He must have really liked that sheep. He invited his friends over, cooked a meal, threw a party to celebrate that he had lost something and then found it again. Who would do that? That's the kind of shepherd Jesus is, isn't it? It's the kind of shepherd he is. And you know what? It's the kind of shepherd that he must be for you and for me. Because that is how salvation works. That's how you and I are saved. You know, sheep need shepherds. They have to have shepherds. And you know what happens when they don't have shepherds? They get eaten, they get lost, they starve. Sheep are kind of dumb, right? Sheep need shepherds. And they need shepherds who go after them, and they need shepherds who watch them, and they need shepherds to do everything for them. That's the kind of shepherds sheep need. And you and I need a shepherd. Why? Because sin is dangerous. And sin leads to suffering, and sin leads to death, and sin leads to hell. When we sin, when we go after other gods and other idols, or we misuse the name of the Lord our God, Or when we do not keep the Sabbath holy and His word holy as we should, you know what we're doing as sheep? We're going after a different source of life. We're rejecting the true source of life, and we're going on our own wayward way, right? And you know what happens when we sin? When we dishonor our parents and other authorities, or when we kill, or we at least kill in our head? I think we've all done that, right? Or when we commit adultery, or commit adultery in our head or with our eyes, or when we steal, or wish we could steal, right? Or when we lie or talk bad about somebody, or when we covet and scheme and wish we had somebody else's life, and we start to maybe plan ways to get what belongs to them and let it belong to us. When we sin, you know what we're doing? We're not only rejecting the source of life, we're going after false sources of life. We're not only rejecting the source of life, but we are choosing instead death. And we're finding things that will eat us and kill us. And I know, dear sinner, that you have experienced that. When you have sinned and you've rejected your Savior, when you rejected your Lord and you've gone and found other things, I know, because I felt the same thing, so I know that it eats you alive. That it eats you up from the inside out. That you can't look at yourself in the mirror. That you know that you deserve death and you deserve retribution. I know that, dear Christian, because I felt the same. And that's why we need a shepherd savior like Jesus. He's the shepherd who seeks us out one by one, patiently searches for us. One by one. And you know, dear friends, that search has a price, doesn't it? It has a price for the shepherd. The shepherd must go on a journey to seek out the sheep. The shepherd must leave the comforts of home to go and seek out the sheep. The shepherd has to go on a long journey and look in different places to find that one sheep, right? It could take hours. It could take days. The search has a price. And then once he finds that sheep, it's not over. The search still has a price. He puts that sheep on his shoulders. And then he has to walk all the way back with the sheep on his shoulders, all so that he can restore that sheep to the fold, all so that he can restore that sheep to the flock. The search has a price. And he must bear the burden of the lost sheep. What the lost sheep did, and what was the lost sheep's fault for going wayward and going astray, the shepherd carries the burden of. The search has a price. And your shepherd, dear Christian, pays that price. Your shepherd, dear Christian, patiently seeks out sinners with his word. And boy, that can be kind of painful for us, can't it? You ever know somebody that you're maybe trying to have a spiritual conversation with, that you're trying to maybe evangelize to? You know what the number one thing is you need? Patience. If you've ever said, hey, Jesus died for you for the very first time for somebody, and they said, wow, I'm a Christian now. Please let me know, because I want to know your ways, right? It takes time. It takes patience for the shepherd to seek out his sheep with the word. It might be small conversation after small conversation after small conversation for years. And then you might still be waiting. The shepherd seeks out his sheep with his word. But here's the beautiful thing. And I know that if you converted at some point in your life from not being Christian to being Christian, I know that you know this. The beautiful thing is that once you're found, once he's found you with the word and you believe, you know what the cool thing is? Is that's when you learn that the shepherd has already bared your burden. There's not something to still bear. It's when you believe that you find out that he has already bared your burden on the cross. On his shoulders, he took all of your sin on himself. And that's true for every single one of you, that Jesus has already bared your burden, all of your sins, past and present, and we all know in the future. He's bared the entire burden on the cross. And you know what? It was his joy to do that. If he could have on that cross, if he could have, he would have been jumping up and down like a shepherd who's got his sheep on his shoulders. It was his joy to do that for you because you were his lost sheep that he found. And it was his joy to take your burden on himself for you, to reunite you with the flock, to give you a home, to restore you to the fold. It was his joy to carry your burden. And that's why heaven throws a party. Can you imagine all of heaven coming around a great feast, a great banquet, because, insert your name here, was found by Jesus? I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot of parties that heaven has, right? I can imagine the angels waking up and saying, all right, how many we got today, right? It's heaven's joy every time a sinner repents. Now you know what? Sometimes we get that backward, all right? Sometimes as Christians, we get that kind of backwards. We think that we find the shepherd, or that somehow we have to be the ones to find the shepherd. And you know what? It's an understandable mistake to make, because look at how it's worded, all right? It says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, right? So we get this idea that, okay, it's the sinner who has to repent. It's the sinner has to do something, right? But hold on, right? How did the analogy go that Jesus used? How did the parable go? Was it the sheep who was wandering off and said, doi, what am I doing? I got to go find the shepherd, right? No. You know that. How are we saved? It's not by being a good person. It's not by being in the faithful 99. Whew, look at us over here. We're not like that doofus sheep who ran off, right? It's not by avoiding sin and not being a sinner. And it's not by never wandering. Sheep are dumb, which is not very flattering to us, right? Sheep are dumb. But you know, I kind of find that comforting. We don't find the shepherd. The shepherd doesn't expect us to come to him or find him. And once the shepherd finds us, you know what the sheep don't do? The sheep is not the one that climbs onto the shepherd's back and says, all right, here we go, right? The shepherd does all the work. And so when it says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, you know whose job it is to repent you? To make you turn around? And that's what repentance means, is to turn around. You know who does that for you? The shepherd. He repents you. Turns you around. And he does so by putting you on his shoulders and restoring you to the flock. That's what repentance is. Repentance is the shepherd's gift to you. Repentance is a gift. Does repentance always feel like a gift? No. But that's what it is. You can only repent because the shepherd has found you. The shepherd turns you around. The shepherd is one who does it for you. And so here's what repentance is. Repentance is acknowledging that you are wayward. Repentance is acknowledging that you need a shepherd to come find you. Repentance is acknowledging that you need to be put on his shoulders. Like, imagine how that sheep feels, right? Hey, guys. I'm on the shoulders of the shepherd. Why? Right? Repentance is acknowledging that you need Jesus to go to the cross for you. Repentance is acknowledging that you have sin, that you need Jesus to bear every nail and to drop every sweat of blood for. That's repentance. that you need Jesus to carry the burden of your sin. But you know what else repentance is? Repentance is also believing that it has been done for you. Repentance is believing that what Jesus has done for you is enough for heaven to party over. Repentance is believing that you are forgiven. Repentance is believing that you have been restored to the fold. It's not repentance if you don't believe that Jesus was successful for you. If you believe that you're a sinner and that you deserve death and that you should be ashamed of your sin, and that's all you believe, that's not repentance. Repentance is believing that Jesus is your faithful shepherd who has done it all for you. And once you believe that, that is repentance, because that is when the shepherd has truly turned you around and brought you all the way back. Friends, faith is being the sheep on the shepherd's shoulder. Faith is trusting the shepherd to reunite you to the flock. Faith is listening to the shepherd's voice with the rest of the flock. We are the shepherd's flock. Every single person here is the one sheep that the shepherd had to go after. We are a flock of the ones. The 99 is a flock of the ones. And so you and I, as the shepherd's flock, we treat every single sinner as the one that the shepherd went after. And that doesn't mean that we sweep sin under the rug. It doesn't mean that we just don't judge and we just look the other way. No, when we treat every single sinner as the one that Jesus went after, it's reuniting with the shepherd's flock to follow him together and thrive together. We rejoice with every single one that the shepherd brings to us. And that means when the shepherd begins to bring somebody into our fold, We get ready to receive the one into the fold. You know how we get ready? Is realizing that our shepherd is the one who's chasing. That he's got a pastor here who's bringing the word to people. He's got a bunch of people who's bringing the word to people. That he's chasing through the word that you and I gather around. He's chasing every single one through the sacraments, through baptism, and bringing them into the flock through baptism and feeding them and the pastors of his own body and blood. And you know how, dear sheep, how you get ready to welcome the one? It's by being equipped with his word and spirit. How you get ready to welcome the one into the flock is by being patient with those sinners who are still wayward. How you get ready to welcome the one that Jesus brings into our midst is by searching and seeking the shepherd's words. By not only searching and seeking them, but also being willing to speak them, that the shepherd might be searching through you. Which means that you have to know those words, right? Which means that maybe you might want to go to Bible study after church, just saying, right? Dear sheep, the best thing that we can do as the church is to celebrate repentant sinners, extending heaven's joy down here, celebrating every repentant sinner. So maybe it's worth asking, how do we celebrate as a church whenever even just one sinner repents? How do we celebrate? Because you know what? The church is better when more sinners join. Because Jesus is preparing a party. One sheep at a time. And so we rejoice with heaven. In his name, amen.